Voice today
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you once again. Compliments of the season to you out there. I am Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
You can watch us on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube as well. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3. It's a concluding part of dailies today. Let's start with the Punch newspaper. Page 2. Fuel scarcity. Depots dry up. Nigerians face bleak Christmas.
Well, this is like a yellow card for us all. You know, usually they say no panic buying, but the signs are there that, you know, we're going to be having problems before this Christmas. The Punch does a full analysis and full story. We won't take everything today, so, you know, on this program, so as not to take too much. Bottom line is that the scarcity is likely to continue and might jolly well get worse. The President's Natural Oil and Gas Association of Nigeria, Benneth Kore, says that a lot of filling stations were currently folding up due to unavailability of the PMS to dispense and the challenges associated with accessing the products. And he says that we're sacrificing a lot by doing this business with losses every day. Go and see the number of filling stations that have folded up in Nigeria. For the depots, how many of them have fuel to sell? And he stated that the availability of petrol in Nigeria was currently the problem facing operators in the downstream and not necessarily the cost of the commodity. We do find that some petrol stations are selling. I think the last one I bought was at $2.15, right? $2.15 per liter. But at the $2.15 per liter stations, there were still queues yesterday. You know, the queues had multiplied. So he says that we're all marketers, but it depends on how you get the product. The major marketers get their products from source NNPCL, and we get ours from them. So don't expect us to sell less than them. All kinds of shenanigans going on there. Meanwhile, the Punch observed that fuel scarcity worsened despite the claim by NNPC that it had imported over 2.5 billion litres of petrol, enough to keep the country wet during the festive season. The country go dry. At this rate, so plates go dry, fuel go dry. It might not be the best time to travel, if I were you. It might not be. The world won't come to an end if you don't, quote unquote, go home. It might not be the right time to go and test the second Niger Bridge and you fill your tank from Lagos and get stuck somewhere in Benin trying to refill. Okay, so we you know, apply a bit of discretion and know that nothing in this world is sacrosanct except the existence of God. If you have to skip these years, and so be it. Hopefully by next year we will get our acts together. Meanwhile, the Punch also reports that drivers and passengers bemoan the high cost of fuel, and then of course the fares have gone up. Okay, the fares usually go up every December, but I can jolly well imagine what is going to look like. Some passengers at Alalu Barika at Berga told one of the Punch correspondents that they paid twice the fare from their journey to Ibadan. Well, I hope the NRC don't increase their fares. Maybe it's time for them to have more trains so that you can at least help people. The fare to Ibadan, I hear, used to be 1,500 and 1,700, but yesterday or somewhere around that time, it had gone up to 3,000. And the driver at the Omotola Gaji Park said petrol price had jumped to 270. So there we go. It's page 2 of the Punch. What concerns you the most is that use your fuel, wisely. Don't forget again, you need fuel for those generators. So we have a double whammy there. This is going to look like a bleak Christmas. And the cost of chicken and all these things has gone up.
Now, everything would skyrocket.
Everything,
like,
yes.
Like everything was...
Except income.
Except income.
You know,
which may never come.
I've never seen such an irony in my life where the expenditure goes up and the income dwindles.
Yeah,
that's a prescription for instant death. And that is one more reason why you need to cast your vote wisely in 2023. Okay, incomes are dwindling. Anybody, there's no talk about Christmas bonus this year. This is the first year since 1981 that I will not see one hamper.
Oh.
I'm not saying sent to me, oh, that, ah, look, oh, this is hamper. This is the first time since 1981 that I started work. That I have not, I mean, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and I remember way back in the 80s and 90s, our dining room and all adjacent areas would be filled up with hampers, odishirishi, hampers,
you
calendars.
You'll now be redistributing.
Yes, hampers, recycling, hampers, calendars. Sometimes you give somebody the hamper, you don't know that a paper has been put in it. So I had a friend once who said that, oh, thank you for the brewery's hamper. I forgot to take out the paper. This is the first time.
Right.
It's such a bleak Christmas that, first of all, it came on so fast. Woke up one day and found that Christmas is right.
It's here.
It's 3 days ago. I don't even feel anything. Even the Harmattan that is associated with that period.
Yeah.
Nothing. Flights have gone up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Definitely. If you want to go to the UK, economy is 1.6 million.
Excuse me.
Yes, to sit near the toilet. That's economy ticket. It's 1.6 million. So if you are a big boy, you want to show them, you know, you got to go upper class. You can jolly well imagine how much that would be.
Yeah.
But guess what?
What?
The flights are full from London.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, understandably so, because their currency is way, way, way better than. And if you
well,
if you convert 1.6 million to.
But the ticket has also gone up in pounds.
Yeah.
If there's anything I do in my spare time, is always checking airfares.
Kilode, are you looking to jackpot anytime?
I'm telling you, But if there's any consolation to you, so you don't get jealous of, it's not any better in the UK. Right now, the UK is facing,
all kinds of strike
economy,
actions.
Strike actions, and the terrible weather. And an NHS that is almost falling apart. So we're all in this together.
It's a global thing, really. But so the fair thing is our own.
Is our own. Is our own. We just haven't. You know, after watching that video that I sent to you yesterday, I went to bed a very sad man, and I was very restless. I'm talking about this Berekete radio video concerning the CBN governor and so on and so forth. That was an honorable member of the House. It stank to the high heavens. So some people are arguing over the figures and whatever. What I said, what upset me is that a member of the House is knowledgeable. He knows, and the way he said things casually, he went to the president gave him go ahead to set up a... How do you run a country like this? I don't know. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's go to the editorial, the Punch.
Yes.
Transparency, crucial. In stamp duty storm.
There you go.
That's the story
that's the story
referring to.
That's the story.
And there's another editorial here in the Daily Trust on page 17. All sides must come clean on stamp duty.
Okay.
The presidency had attempted to, you know, try to mop up a few areas by saying that how would a House of Reps member be a legislator be interfering in executive matter? That what's he talking about? He's not head of any committee whatsoever.
The question to ask the presidential spokesman is, did this man meet the president like he said he did? Did he get the authority? He said it in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it wasn't the figures. It's the casual way in which, if this gentleman is right, if he is right, the casual way in which he walked up to the president immediately there and then, he said it boldly, there and then gave him the authority to set up a committee. And I'm saying, it's like the eighth wonder of the world. You know? But the Punch, they have an editorial, and the Trust also have an editorial. We'll take them back to back. And the Punch says that the allegation, of course, is on stamp duties. You know, he claims that a lot of money that accrued to stamp duties has been waxed by the CBN governor. That's the claim that he makes. Incidentally, I read in one of the papers today, the headline, not the story, which says that Emefiele said he can't attend the House of Reps briefing because he has gone abroad for health issues. If you tie that in with this problem with the DSS, then everything just, you know, I'm confused. I don't know how to analyze it, to be honest with you. I hope somebody will come out with a clear, concise picture, narrative of what is going on. The Punch also say that the allegations by the lawmaker who represents Kazari, the allegations against the CBN governor, are weighty. What are the allegations? He contends that in the past few years, the banks and other financial institutions have collected, now listen to this, you better hold your chair, 89.09 trillion. Not, we have moved from B to 3 trillion as stamp duty. Instead of remitting such as required by law, Kazari alleged they colluded with public agencies to withhold 40% of the funds, while only 60% was remitted. Is this a tie-in to the problem this gentleman has with the DSS? Because Kazari claims that part of the committee that was set up had Bichi as a member. But swiftly, Garba Shehu, a spokesperson for the president, fired back at Kazari. He said the stamp duty collection was not anywhere near 89 trillion. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the guy has problem with figures. He recalled that Buhari had discontinued an earlier effort to trace the sum of 20 trillion. Okay, that Buhari, to trace the sum of 20 trillion, which is bad enough, that was allegedly raised from stamp duty to 2013 to 2016, when the consultants to the project demanded 7.5% of the sum as their fee. That was why, you know, because the consultants said, look, Omo, if we trace this money for you, you're going to give us 7.5. I think you should have negotiated. But it says the entire banking sector deposit is not even up to half of 89 trillion. She has stated, indeed, if the federal government can find 89 trillion, it can pay off all its debts. So the claim by these so-called consultants and the disbanded committee is totally ridiculous and a complete mockery. This rebuttal addresses only one part of the poser. So if it is not 89 trillion, I'm now talking, how much is it? Because the Punch argues here that, curiously, Shehu avoided the crux of the matter. He did not provide the details of the revenue realized from the tax since Buhari assumed office in May 2015. This, above all, is what Nigerians want to know. The public has an inalienable right to know how much and the full details of the stamp duty revenue. I don't know if we have any rights in this country anymore, to be honest. And I'm saying that, you know, with a lot of sarcasm, heavy sarcasm. With a doubt, so much money has been generated from the policy as bank transactions, including via electronic channels. Well, if the documentary we worked on fuel, on the way fuel was being stolen, in this country, admitted by government, then there will be more than meets the eye in this matter. Okay? Let's go on to the... Of course, the Punch then argues that they should come clean and so on and so forth, and that the United Kingdom government operates transparently. Members of the public can access details and so on and so forth on online. The trust, the Daily Trust, of course, you know the origins of the paper. That's why I always like taking something from that paper. They first of all say that, okay, the thrust of Gudadi's quarrel with government is that Buhari had approved a committee of which Kazari, this Gudadi, is secretary, to investigate and track fraud in the recovery of stamp duty tax that had accrued to government. Also in June 2020, an interministerial committee on audit and recovery of back-year stamp duties was inaugurated by the federal government and so on and so forth. Anyway, the trusts say that all these point to the needless and wasteful duplication of responsibilities at the heart of governance in this country. The trust says, and I want you to listen, Sheriff, all of you at home, we cannot understand why consultants are needed to carry out tasks that government agencies have the capacity and skills to execute, nor why special committees are needed to investigate possible fraudulent breach of the law when Nigeria has several anti-corruption agencies like EFCC, ICPC, RMAFC, and so on and so forth. The same thing we are talking about the oil, the theft of oil theft. We had to get an individual to set up some organization to help secure our oil. And we have the Navy, we have the DSS, we have, I mean, This, I don't know when this kind of governance is going to stop, because it's difficult to convince a lot of us that at the very least, these are not jobs for the boys. It's very difficult, very, very difficult to convince us otherwise. And they say that the trust says that, as it were, the controversy surrounding stamp duty tax is caused by the lack of transparency in the collection and recovery of the tax. While Kazaure talked about a huge sum of 89 trillion as accruing from stamp duty, the president's spokesman responded to the figures by saying, then what he said, you know. But the question Nigerians are asking is, if the amount is not 89 trillion, how much is it? And more importantly, where is it? For those who don't speak English too well, let me say in Yoruba, Nibolowa. Philip, what's Nibolowa in Igbo? This one is sleeping.
He's laughing.
This one, a Lagos boy. The trust calls on government to create a dashboard that shows daily stamp duty collections by banks, so that all concerned, including FIRS, RMA, FC, CBN, and the like, can access them real time. Meanwhile, according to one of the papers, our CBN governor has a medical problem that is handling abroad. So maybe when he does come back, he will be in a position to brief us on this and many other issues. What were you thinking?
You know, this is very, you know why this is very painful?
Yes.
Because poor people are meant to pay this stamp duty money.
Yes.
And some individuals somewhere are playing ping pong with people's money.
What about everyday lives? These are the monies that
Is 89 trillion or 8 trillion yo. I beg, where the money?
Where's the money?
What is the function of Garba Shehu? What is he, a financial analyst? Is he a member of the committee? Why is Garba Shehu involved? Where is the Ministry of Finance? Where is Central Bank in all of this thing? Why is Garba Shehu speaking?
No, why I don't even understand is the man didn't indict the federal government.
Exactly.
He indicted the CBN.
Why is he speaking?
The CBN are not speaking. And like you said, you're not speaking. That is, if you want to come with clean hands, you tell us no, it's not that figure. It is this figure. I think again he has put his foot in the political quagmire that might consume him. You know, the job I will never take. I've always said, the job I will never take is to be some spokesperson or whatever for government in a country like Nigeria. Various intrigues that surround you. If you notice, because it's our own area, most of our colleagues who take up this job, at the end of the day, they get up being boxed into a corner. Go and ask. It's unfortunate that the late Tudio Seni is gone, but go and ask some of our other colleagues who have handled this kind of job. You see, the truth is, the center is not holding in this particular government. The president's style is to allow so many things happen, and he just sits back and takes his time. It's not a good way to govern. Nigeria needs a hands-on governor. I don't mean governor in that sense.
Yeah.
We need to be governed by somebody who has the physical, mental strength to hold down things like this. All this could be solved.
Like, why would this even make it to the papers? I mean, why?
Why? If you hear Kazaure's, I don't want to call it a testimony, but if you hear what he has to say, you sit back and ask yourself. I just asked myself when I was watching, before I sent it to you, I said, is this how we are being governed? In such a casual manner?
So casual.
Casual. And nobody has actually responded to all the things he said. This Shehu did not respond to all the things he said about his access to the president. How he met this guy in London and was able to walk up to the president. President, he said, and he kept saying, the president signed the committee, whatever, there and then. Jimmy, you saw it.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
You'll be nodding
your
head.
He was so relaxed and he was just saying it and
casually.
He was even cracking jokes at some point.
Yes. It's, I don't want to talk about the style of the, everybody has his own style, but that issue itself was not treated with the seriousness that it deserves. But I hope, and, I, I, and, I,
sorry, sir. Yeah. Where is the House of Reps on this as well? They can't leave this gentleman to be speaking. House of Reps, although Gbaja, your cousin,
Gbaja, had gone. Said my cousin. Gbaja is my cousin. Yes. At good at bad times, yes, he will forever be my cousin. Yes.
Had gone to the president to go and discuss the CBN cash reserve limit with him, and then this tax, we don't know, this stamp duty as well, we don't know what the content of the discussion, you know, is all of. We still do not know.
You want me to put a phone call through to him? And
I'm just thinking that you may just, you know, put a call through to him.
I don't even have his number, you know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, then.
And for your information, he calls me Mr. Disu. The only time he called me Mr. Disu. But let's leave that. So that shows you my relationship with him. But he's my cousin. And there's no doubt about that. There's a Disu blood flowing in him.
Mm. All right. Let's go to the Daily Sun, where this story is resting here. And earlier this morning, this story generated a lot of reactions on the show. IGP declares war on gunmen in Southeast, says end of criminals near.
Okay, so there's been a lot of violence going on in the East. In fact, IPOB had to disown some of the gunmen. So it appears as if the police or the security forces want to move in. But we would like for them to give us a full briefing as to what exactly is going on. I have a fear. I don't know why, as young as I was, because in 67 I was just in Form 1. But I mean, from primary school, I always read papers anyway. And I remember vividly about 68, the Civil War started with what was called a police action. The Gawand sent the Federal Forces police to go and supposedly arrest Anujuku. And before we had it, we have had a civil war that went on for about 3 years. So the authorities need to explain to us what exactly is going on. We know that you have to clamp down on this. I mean, declaring one day as work-free, you know, there must be some authority in the East. But we need to have a clear picture of what the aim is and who are you. Are you going to arrest people? Are you going to enforce? We need a very clear picture. Because some of the news that we get are skewed in such a way that it looks as if the police went on a rampage in the East killing people. And I don't think that's what it is. This is what communication does. The IGP needs to address us and tell us clearly what the mission is, what exactly the mission is, before, through manhandling of information, we have another problem on our hands. But I suspect that the authorities are meeting some stiff resistance. But let's see how that goes. But I like this is from The Sun. You know, The Sun is owned by Kalu from the East. And he says, war on gunmen. He didn't say IPOB. You need to look at these words, you know. Well, that's what we're here for. We look to look at the use of language, what words are used. It's gunmen, because apparently it appears that you might have some trigger happy you know, people in the East who, for whatever reasons they think they want, you know, are making life unbearable. And the people who suffer the most from all this, believe you me, are people who live in the East. You know, they suffer more. I mean, it hasn't spread yet. We hope it doesn't. What will not make it spread is good governance across the line. But that's a story for another day. We can move on to the next story.
Lagos plumber tortured by SARS, framed for murder, acquitted.
Now, this story frightened me. Let me read it. It says, and the Ikeja Special Offences Court discharged and acquitted a 30-year-old plumber, Anthony Bello, who was accused of murder. Justice Mojisola Dada discharged and acquitted Anthony after the prosecution could not establish charges of murder and unlawful assembly against him. The defendant was arraigned on two counts before the court on October 7, 2019, and he pleaded not guilty to the charge. Now, most likely, I don't think he was granted bail. So from 2019, this gentleman had been in jail, and he was accused of killing one man identified as Onome Uchenu. During the trial, the prosecution, well, they give a story of what actually happened. But he was able to walk free. Well, the story here says that he was framed for murder. I think for the benefit of those who don't understand the word frame, what it means, I probably didn't know anything about it. And in order to pin him down, he's framed for murder. We've had cases like this before. I remember one driver, we go enter one way, he missed road, you know. He enter one way and ran into a judge one time in Lagos here. And instead of him to be charged, from my own reckoning, instead of him to be charged for unlawful driving or whatever it is, reckless driving, and so he was charged immediately for attempted murder. And it was languishing in Kirikiri until myself and some, a few well-meaning Nigerians at different fora, we didn't even meet ourselves. I took up the case too. We took up the case with, you know, with the judiciary and got him set free. So when I see things that frame for murder, tomorrow it could be you.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow it could be you. And you see, when you are framed, sometimes all they want to do is to put you away. I remember one guy who got a political appointment in Nigeria here. I think it was during Jonathan's period. Mm. And the board that was set up to monitor him, they kept asking him for money. And when he couldn't produce the money because in fear, you know, the politicians said, "Omo, this funding that we are getting from abroad, let's have the dollar." And the judge said, "Okay, no problem." Mm. So what they simply did was to frame him for one corruption charge, non-existent. As soon as they charged him to court, then they came in and said, "Well, since he's been charged to court, he needs to step aside." And guess what? As soon as he stepped aside, nobody showed up in court again.
Ooh.
But he was going back and forth. He had to employ a judge. He had to not employ a judge, excuse me. He had to employ a lawyer and so on and so forth to get himself. So when I see things like framed, you know, it frightens me. This plumber, if he is bold enough, can go back and sue all those who set him up in this.
Can sue the police.
He can sue the police. He can sue all those if he can identify them. Mm. Also, there's a disturbing story here about the sports journalist, Babajide Guerrero, who has accused men of the Lagos State Environmental and Special Offences Enforcement of extorting him, and is asking for a refund of the 100,000 allegedly collected from him by officials. This happens every day.
Mm.
One more time, the police set up a checkpoint at that Jora, you know, the turn in to go back to Echo Bridge, and I think his finger is twisting. And I would like, I'll talk about it at 9 o'clock.
Okay, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sir.
Yes,
Lagos, thank you for listening. Let's bring you the news. After the news, we'll talk some more on the Morning Crossfire. Do stay here with us.